is that it's very self-referential. It oftentimes chastises the viewer for enjoying a movie. I think everyone's seen a movie where that's been like, well, that was weird. Well, that was awkward. Well, that was crazy. Did that actually just happen?
Yeah.
And it becomes really grating, and you feel talked down to and patronized, and it doesn't feel good. So that is what that actually ends up doing is it ends up putting up a fourth wall. You're suddenly reminded that you're watching a movie again, and you can't get invested. My personal opinion on the Deadpool and Wolverine movie is that it did that a lot. It tried to have its cake and eat it, too. It tried to have Deadpool as a funny fourth wall breaking character, actually reinforcing the fourth wall and letting you make fun of the movie, which there's a space for that, and that could have been the space for that movie. But Wolverine's in that movie, it's like a whole like character thing, and Wolverine's motivations are very much emotional character based, and I just felt like it fell flat just because they tried to have it both ways, right? So when you point out that that's crazy, what's happening on stage, and then this improv scene behind me, you're actually watching improv, you're actually doing this, did you know that you're actually watching a scene right now? That becomes so grating for the audience. It's funny maybe once, and even then it is a sacrifice of the scene, it is a sacrifice of the actual story that you're trying to tell, and you end up killing it. So if you don't swipe the stage immediately after that, it's not going to go anywhere, or it's going to be really difficult to bring it back. That's, I think, the hardest part of improv to get right when you're starting out is doing it for the scene, not for the jokes.
Wow. I have so many words beforehand, and then they're all gone.
And that I took them.
You did. You took them. Improvise.
They're mine now.
Yeah. I feel like there's people that are born funny, right?
Oh.
And I think that Aiden's somebody that looks funny in general. So.
Oh, you know what else doesn't look funny? What do you like about improv, Aster?
I like how collaborative it is. I like how you get to make something out of thin air. I like how when it happens and you're done. It doesn't matter if you had an awful, terrible scene that you hated and you made awful choices. It happened and it's gone now and you don't have to worry about it anymore. I like that it's... I like how freeing it is, how it brings people together, how it forces you to be a part of something larger than yourself. It's very fulfilling for me, like spiritually. I'm not even kidding. Like on a spiritual level, I love it so much. Wow. It's one of my favorite things to do. I think if you haven't tried improv, you should definitely go try it. Or go at least watch like a show. Go to the Improv Center in Granville. Go to Tightrope Theater. Go to... Little Mountain Gallery. They do a lot of improv over there. It's very worth it. It's very cool. Yeah.
Sick. And you touched on it a little bit about thing, but like if you could have like two or three pointers or less, if so. But why do you think people should do improv or more improv? If you do think that.
I think. I would say that I don't know if I've necessarily thought of it that way. I don't know if I've ever thought of, like, more people should do this just because, I guess I'm not, like, or that's not where my head's at when I do improv.
Mm-hmm.
Or
recruitment.
Recruitment, yeah. Well, it can be if I'm just trying to find some people to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I could tell you the benefits of it. Like it makes you more confident. It helps you think quick on your feet. And these are all things that are very abstract and that maybe don't sound super appealing, as they're being described. But I can only tell you that like once you see it, you get it. Where like once you see an improv show, it just makes sense. It just makes sense, and you just get it. I don't know. It's a really intangible thing to describe. Whenever someone tries to describe an improv scene, it's just never the same. It always falls flat. Even recorded. Even when you're recorded, when you can't hear like the energy of the room.
Yeah.
And the like the chemistry between the different actors on stage, like it's just not the same.
Dang.
And it's I don't know. You just have to go see it. I would recommend that people go see it so that they can get it.
Okay.
That's what I would say. I think people should go watch improv, if for no other reason than to have a fun night.
Solid. You heard it here for first.
I'm the first person ever to do improv. And
you're the first person ever, actually. Yeah. Just period. I'm the first person born in a time where there was no people
and everything.
Call you Sophia. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. We have, after this, a surprise interview, but we have a little song break before that. So next up, we have the live version of Men I Trust's song, All Night. I love Men I Trust. I love this song. And now I'm going to play it for you guys. This is CJSF 90.1 FM on the Burnaby Mountain SFE location.
Yeah.
as promised, we have our super secret
secret special guest.
Woo! Special guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Garth.
Ah, so here we have Garth. Now, we've recently been introduced to Garth through a friend of our family.
Yeah.
He's very good at kind of being in the outdoors. His father was a RCMP mountain ranger. Got turned into a bear as of recently. I think 2018, if I got that right.
2017.
2017, sorry. It happens to the best of us. Really kind of just good in nature, really, really well versed in that. But other areas of expertise. Garth, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
No problem.
I was out foraging for mushrooms before dawn, and I remembered, oh, I have the show today with good old Kira, and I.
What kind of mushrooms were you collecting?
The brown ones.
Oh, you don't know the name? Any of them?
No, that's what they're called, the brown ones.
They're just the brown ones.
Yeah.
It's radio relevant. It's not like I eat them or anything. I just like looking at them.
You walked here all the way from Regina. Is that correct?
All the way from Regina, Saskatchewan.
Continue.
From the tall, tall wheat fields. It's all right.
So do you keep like a little collection of the mushrooms if you're not eating them?
It's actually funny that you should say that. I'm planning on starting an art gallery.
Oh.
Where I chop down a large redwood tree, mm-hmm. and place it inside of a venue. Place my mushrooms over the top of the bark in order to signify the passing of a father, and the growth of life upon death.
Wait, wow. So what do you mean by like the passing of a father?
Well, my father turned into a bear.
Oh, so
passing of human form.
Ever since that, I've seen him a couple of times just hunting salmon.
So are you hoping that the venue might like bring your father back, or what's going on with that?
Oh,
I'm hoping that it brings me peace.
Because that's what we're all searching for, really, is a way to come to terms that our father is now turned into a bear.
And that kind of grief, I gotta be honest, what I've come to terms with after all these years is that the only thing that really makes grief worth enduring is everything else.
Like the mushrooms.
Like the mushrooms, but also the way that the light filters in through the leaves, and the way that the bark feels under my small greenish fingertips.
And I think as a beautiful as a mushroom foraging art collector you are as well, you also expertise in pottery, I believe.
Pottery.
You had your own. Yeah, well, I've also heard from some sources that you get a little bit too hungry sometimes when you're making the pots and take little tiny pieces out. Can't take you anywhere. But yeah, you have recently had your art in an exhibit, not directly in the core of the earth, but kind of adjacent, about a couple kilometers off.
Around the kind of like soft mantle, like where the rock is like a little solid, but you can like step on it, but it's still a bit gooey. That kind of point.
How's the temperature?
Pretty humid and warm, I gotta be honest. I like it a lot, though. The mushrooms like it too.
Oh.
They like the warmth of the earth around them, and I gotta be honest, it's a bit of like, it's kind of like a warm hug.
Oh.
Like a big...
Like a
bear hug.
Like the warm hug you can't get from
my bear father, yes. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out, Aiden.
Come on. You know, when I think of humidity and warmth and hugs, I think of microwave popcorn. And you were recently on TV with Bobby Flay. I'm not sure if the audio listener is familiar with that person. Food Network celebrity, just really good person to cook with. How did your pottery and mushrooms kind of go over on that show?
You know what? They were hesitant at first, and it honestly, like, I was talking to the producer, Daryl. He's a great man, and he was hesitant. He was like, I don't know how pottery goes well over our demographic. You know, it's generally like 60 to 80,
yeah.
And then you know, the hands, they can't really like shape the clay as well as they used to. But you know what? Like I was like, you know what, Daryl, just give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show these people my actual passion for it, and And Bobby Flay, like, he took a bite of the mug I made, and it was beautiful. He looked up at me and he just started crying. Wow. And just crying and crying and crying, and I felt so touched by it, and I was like, Bob, you're all right. And he takes a seat on the counter and he just says, I remember what it's like to be young again. And I've thought about that for well ever since. I guess ever since my dad left a salmon head on my doorstep. Wow. Just last week.
Isn't that a sign of good luck, though?
That's what I remembered. It is, yeah.
Wow.
So gonna have a. Actually, wasn't it that it was like a sign of like the snow going all the way when you get a fish head, and that was always good luck.
Yeah, that's exactly that's
oh, like Groundhog Day kind of, yeah, but like with like bear fathers.
Exactly. If you look at my plot of land, you can see that all the snow happening in BC has just left a perfect circle around my home.
But you got all the snow in BC and brought it to your field, and then it went away.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh my gosh. How big was the bag, approximately? Like a snow bag.
Like the whole snow bag?
Yeah.
Or did you have to take a bunch of trips, or was it like...
It was one bag, no. I got strong arms.
One trip wonder.
It was, I want to say the size of like, those portable school buildings they got?
Yeah.
Where it's like the portable classrooms that aren't, don't really go...
Like the shipping container one thing?
Yeah, like one of those. It was about the size of one of those.
Wow.
Pretty easy to carry,
that's impressive.
I mean...
They're not that bad.
I was in an airplane the other day. I saw the Rockies, and they were just immaculate. I don't know how you stopped the snow from returning as well. Like, even on the mountains. That's incredibly impressive work.
What ends up happening is I climb up the Rockies, and I brandish my powerful fist, and I raise one finger, and I wag at the sky, and I go, not today, bub. Mm. I go, snow, go away. Don't come back another day. Mm.
So do you think someone else may have climbed, up that same mountain and said, like,
come back.
Close for business.
Garth Dad, go away.
You know what? That did happen to me once. I just heard a booming voice split open the clouds and go and say exactly that, and I just got blasted all the way off. It took me 15 days to make it back to my home.
Oh my goodness! Who could even wish such horrors upon you? You're a humble mushroom snow collector with a giant bag.
Probably that kid I used to bully when I was little.
Oh.
He blasted you off for 15 days.
For 15 days, yeah.
15 days and 15 nights, and that's why we celebrate Garthmas every February, which is really why we have you on here.
Yeah, to talk about Garthmas.
So I realized that...
It's a dying religion. It honestly is.
It's real. You know what?
But we're here to talk about the celebration, you know? It is dwindling in popularity, you know? We're here to expose others to Garthmas and really encapsulate
it. I used to be real upset about the scarcity of it. Mm-hmm. People don't put up the Garth tree. No one wants to make pots of mushrooms. Aww. No one wants to do pottery. But the thing that I realized is that maybe it's better if it's small. Maybe it's better if it's just for a few people. Yeah. Because what that means is it matters enough to them to keep it going, even if it's not a national thing.
Yeah.
So that's really what I've actually had to understand. You know.
Yeah. It's like slam poetry almost.
You know the mayor, he even put up a banner around the
mayor of the Rocky Mountains.
Put up a big banner that says, "We love you, Garth."
Oh. That is just so sweet.
It was so sweet.
That is really wonderful. And I just, yeah.
Like, with where you're saying that Garth is very scarce, right? I have
Garth
seen...
is scarce. That's no. Scarce is my middle name.
Scarce. Oh my God. Bars.
But I think what happened was, I think you may be misunderstood. There are people that follow Garth, right? Because I know like Evan's like Garth is very small, right? Like I don't think there's not much there, but I feel like other parts of the world may have more following, right? It's just like you never see, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. And honestly, like, a part of the reason why I joined the radio show is just to see if there are other Garthers out there. See if there's anyone that really just wants to hit me up.
Yeah, no one's wanting to Garth with me anymore.
No one wants to
forage,
catch a brewski with big old Garth.
Like, yeah. How many guys or 16 like foot gals Garth would you like want together?
I'd say like an ideal Garth gathering is somewhere around like 25 to 40.
Wow.
Because that's when you really get the energy of that.
The spirit.
That's when you just get the spirit.
Like, that's when it really becomes a party.
That's when it, 25 to 40 is kind of just the ideal number for anything, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I went to IKEA and I bought 25 sinks and I never thought of a more perfect number. I had to buy two more houses to fit them in, but it was so worth it.
Honestly,
I'm so clean.
You know, I bought 25 rugs.
Yeah.
And then when I moved out of my house, the landlord was like, wow, you really left this floor spotless. And you can never go wrong with having more.
Exactly.
More is always better in every situation, always.
This is not sponsored by capitalism. This is completely unrelated. And I was actually that landlord. And that's why I got those more houses. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, this is kind of odd conversation to have on air, but where are you living now?
Somewhere like, I want to say like east of.
I thought you were like east of Northville or like
east of Northville, like west of Lake South.
I see. Like wherever, yeah. Well, I appreciate you so much coming on this show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Mushroom foraging, pottery, Garthmas. It's really good to get that exposure, and we're very happy to give you that platform.
I'm so happy to have been a part of this.
Oh, just before we forget, Aster, do you want to ask our guest anything?
Garth, I just want to say I've been very touched by your story. I've been very moved by the way that that you've connected with the people around you. And I wanted to ask, is there anything that we can do to bring Garth, a little bit of Garth, into our everyday lives?
Yeah, you just gotta feel the spirit. 25 to 40 people always. 25 to 40 of everything.
Wow. That is so wonderful. All right. We are going to get back to some scheduled programming. Up next, we have I Do by Jordan Simone. Garth, thank you so much for joining us. This is CJSF 90.1 FM on the Burnaby Mountain location. This is Stuck by Duran Bernard. Don't you get stuck?
Showing up late to the party, but the jam is guaranteed.
Located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Hakko, Melam, and Squamish-speaking peoples. This has been CJSF 90.1 FM.